hit this one, Miles.
You are listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another brand new podcast of The Business Called Cricket. This is Rika Roy, the deputy editor of NDTV 24/7, and I have been bringing you chats with some of my favorite characters from the game. This week, I catch up with a person you may be hearing in the IPL commentary box, but what you may not be hearing about is another unique side of his personality, how he is helping to conserve the rhino ecosystem in India, who has a little rhinoceros next to his name on his Twitter handle, and is the founder of Sarai, Kevin Peterson. Thank you very much, KP, for joining me on the show. From being a cricketer to a conservationist, when did this calling come?
Yeah, 2013, I went on a safari trip to South Africa. I got African blood in me, born and raised in Africa. When I went back to Africa in 2013, saw the travesty that was unfolding in front of my eyes and within the poaching crisis, I decided that I was going to try and use my profile for good. So I started by just raising awareness. It then led to raising crazy amounts of money. And now I'm in the storytelling world of being able to broadcast globally on National Geographic the issues around endangered species, but also the solutions that we can put in place to protect these beautiful animals.
You are also setting up an NGO called Sarai. Please tell us about the workings of Sarai and what do you intend to achieve with it?
Sarai is not an NGO. Sarai is a brand, Save Our Rhino Africa India, which donates 20% of its profits in India to the Centre for Wildlife Studies, who is an NGO in Bangalore, run by National Geographic explorer Krithi Karanth. She's a professor in the industry. She is one of the most wonderful, wonderful ladies who I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with during the National Geographic documentary. And you will see her on stage, on set, and being as brilliant as ever when the documentary airs next week. We also donate 20% of our profits globally to Care for Wild in South Africa. So we've got a two-pronged attack where we make donations to two organizations that I think are doing quite beautiful work in protecting our planet, protecting our endangered animals. But Sarai relaunches middle of October, and it's a clothing brand. And we are so busy at the moment making sure that the website is good, the e-commerce site is good. So if all your listeners can watch out for the launch of Sarai in a couple of weeks' time, the middle of October, 10, 11, 12 October, I think, then it would be beautiful to have as many ambassadors wearing our product to go with our strap line, "You are what you wear."
KP, we do understand that rhinos are big fives and you come from Africa and you have an African heart. But was there any particular reason why, you know, you gravitated towards rhinos and not other animals? Because the question of extinction very much lies with other animals as well.
It does lie with other animals, yes. But rhino is critically endangered, not just an endangered animal. It is critically endangered. And if we don't continue to look after them, they could be gone by 2025. So I don't want that to happen. I want my children and my children's children to grow up seeing them in the wild. So I adopted the rhino as the topic of conversation. But yes, when you have a look at the global crisis that we're in at the moment, the illegal wildlife trade is something that needs to stop. It has dysfunctioned and ruined the global economy, ruined so many people's lives, killed so many people, and we need to put a stop to the illegal wildlife trade.
Could you tell us in particular, how are you helping the Indian rhino ecosystem? I believe there's a large one in the northeastern part of the country in Kaziranga.
Yes, the Indian rhino has benefited so well from educating the people that live in and around the Kaziranga National Park. I found it fascinating that there are no fences around that national park, the security systems that they've got in place in that national park, the men and women that serve the animals 24/7, day and night in that national park. They've got a situation where they've got too many rhino per square kilometer in the national park. So relocation is happening. And that just proves that in terms of rhino conservation, India is a global leader and something that all of India should be so proud of.
KP, one of the biggest worries for conservationists is the man-animal conflict, and that happens in every animal ecosystem, and it happens in Kaziranga as well. We've seen when floods happened in Assam earlier this year, how rhinos have been floating with humans.
Yeah.
Are there interventions that you with your colleagues making here in an effort to give them a better space?
We're very lucky to have Cisco as partners in this documentary. And I think that you will be pleasantly surprised by what we unveil in the second episode of our documentary. Technology assists in the process of protecting the humans and also protecting the animals. So I can't reveal the technology that we've put in place, but I think people will be ecstatic when they see what we have been lucky enough to put in place with our wonderful partners, Cisco.
I'll be really keen to look at that. Particularly, I am interested in the tiger habitat. If there are similar things done to the tiger, perhaps tigers will also be saved from extinction. KP, tell us about your personal journey a little bit. From full-fledged cricketer who's been so successful, the captain of England cricket team, has life after cricket become busier because of Sarai?
Life beyond cricket has become a lot busy. I've been also lucky enough to be able to pick and choose what I do and when I do it. Mm-hmm. I've not been dictated to by a cricketing schedule. So family comes first now, completely dedicated to being around as much as I can for my kids. My kids are young and growing up, and traveling with my kids, exploring the world with my kids, bringing them up also on safari with animals and letting them understand the beauty and the significance of the roles that they play in the world. But yes, I have been very, very busy, and I like being busy. So it's all good stuff. I can pick and choose what I want to do, and I love it.
KP, I have seen with a lot of cricketers, philanthropy come hand in hand. We've seen the kind of work that Steve Waugh has once again done in India with Udayan. And now you have helping the rhino ecosystem in India. What is it about cricketers, doing stuff for places that they have traveled to? Is it the connections you make? Are these the things that you fall in love with while traveling? What is it? What is the connect really?
It depends on the individual really, because not everybody does it. There are only a couple that have done it. And it depends on the individual. It depends on a specific moment that triggers off an emotion that makes you want to act on your emotion. And in my case, the rhino plays such a big role in the ecosystem, being a keystone species. I started my journey in South Africa, and I know and I think that I can continue to make a difference in the world of conservation just through my profile and the people that I can speak to and the ability to reach out to significant and important people around the world, decision makers, business leaders. So when you have that opportunity to do that for the greater good, then I feel duty bound to do it.
KP, the coronavirus times have been particularly difficult for a lot of people. And I believe in India, I have also been speaking to a lot of people involved in animal conservation, and they say that funds have been difficult to come by. Do you think that is happening, and do you have a role to play in there?
It is definitely happening because tourism has been hit so hard. One of the biggest pluses to the tourism industry working is that money flows through the gates of national parks and to conservation efforts. So without tourism happening, aeroplanes flying, and the inability of to go and experience these beautiful places on this planet, money has dried up. So they can't pay conservation bills, they can't pay security bills, they can't pay anti-poaching bills. For sure, money has dried up, and that's why the tourism industry and the tourism sector needs to get back on the horse as quickly as it can.
And that is where the role of Sarai becomes all the more important, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's definitely a role that we will put to the front of the queue because we do 100% believe in protecting endangered animals. So the more people that become ambassadors of our brand, the more people that jump on board with our brand, the bigger we will make an impact. And yes, it's very exciting to tease people on my social media channels around the new collection and what it's going to look like. A lot of people really want to get involved with the brand, which is amazing.
I'm excited to see it. KP, 2013 is when you started your journey as a conservationist. You were still actively in the world of cricket. Since then, till now, how much would you say has changed? I mean, how many lives would you have touched from then to now and helped them along? I believe there are rangers, local communities, law enforcement personnel who would typically be helped by...
That's difficult. That's so difficult. That's a very difficult question. I can't answer that question. I do know that we've made a difference. We've made a difference 100% within the lives of the rangers who are protecting the animals. But how many lives and how many animals that we have saved, I mean, I wouldn't have a clue. I know how much money that we've raised. I know where we donate our money. I know the impact that we have on kids and families that have lost parents because of conflict in these high intensity areas. But yeah, I don't know. That would be me taking a wild guess, and because of the seriousness of the topic, it's not right for me to do so.
KP, in the early part of interview, you said that life after cricket has been busy for you, but you're able to pick and choose stuff. And now you are in Dubai as we speak for commentating on the Indian Premier League. How has life in the bubble treated you so far?
I've loved it. Being so busy has been fantastic. I've just talked to you now about launching Sarai in a couple of weeks. I've got a couple of days launching the National Geographic documentary, which we've got coming out on World Rhino Day Tuesday, which is going to keep me busy over the next couple of days. I have loads of letters to write. I've got proposal to look through. I've got presentations to sign off. I'm so busy. It's actually been brilliant. I've used this time just as an office, because normally at home I've got kids running around, dogs barking, there's errands that you've got to continually run. I've just cooped myself up in my bedroom. I've had a watt bike delivered here, so I've been able to train for 2 hours a day properly to just get a sweat on. And then I've been getting my mind completely dedicated to making sure that we promote this documentary properly, and everything else will flow from there.
But imagine if you were a player, how would things have really played out? Would the dynamics have been very different and a lot more pressuresome than what the experience is like right now?
Yeah, possibly. They're going to have to just work away and find a way to deal with no crowds. Mm-hmm. I called the Australia versus England T20 series last week in Southampton. And yeah, it's different, but they've just got to find a way. It's simple, find a way.
So as a commentator, were you able to gain access to the players, by which I mean to the press conferences? How far did you have to be?
There's different rules in the UK. I was miles away. I was on the boundary edge. I didn't go. I wasn't allowed on the field.
So there will be a commentary bubble, you reckon, in the IPL as well?
I think there is a commentary bubble, yes. Commentators are in a bubble. Players are in a bubble. Yeah, there's all sorts of bubbles. Bubbles everywhere. It's like blowing bubbles for my kids. There's bubbles everywhere.
Yes, we did see US Open in a bubble. We are seeing NBA happening in a bubble. And do you see bubbles everywhere? Do you see this is going to be the future of sports, where, you know, sports is going to be played in the bubble because of lifestyle changes?
Until a vaccination comes, I'm sure that they'll just deal with it the way that they're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. This year, IPL 13 is going to be different in many ways. What is that one thing that really stands out for you among the many changes that has come about due to coronavirus?
This IPL will be different just purely from the fact that there's no spectators. So I think broadcasting is going to be different. Players are going to have to get themselves up and we will just have to wait and see. Time will tell. Let's wait and see.
We do know how much you love India, and the reason that you're doing Sarai is also saying thank you to India, and Indian Premier League has been a special connection for you as well.
Yeah.
Would you like to pick a winner for this year?
I want the Delhi Capitals to win.
And do you think they're ready for it?
We're going to have to wait and see. I mean, why not? Why? They've never won before. Why not? Everyone has a chance. Everyone has a chance. Let's wait and see.
All right. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. And all the best for Sarai. I can't wait to see you guys relaunch.
Thank you so much.
Always hit this one, Miles.
You were listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.